Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, January 14th. San Diegans are coming together to help survivors of the LA fires. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. A red flag warning for the Kelly's Mountains and Valleys is in effect until 6 p.m. tomorrow. The National Weather Service issues red flag warnings when weather conditions cause an increased risk of fire danger. Meteorologist Alex Tardy says dry vegetation could put inland areas at risk.
One thing to emphasize here is just because you have much lighter winds doesn't mean you couldn't have a fire, you know, in a neighborhood area or in a high brush area with a lot of vegetation that burns very well.
He says clouds and some light precipitation may come later this week. San Diego Unified continues to investigate a data breach impacting students in the district. The incident was announced last week by third-party software company PowerSchool. We now know that the exposed information was primarily contact information like names, addresses, and phone numbers. The district says more sensitive information like social security numbers and certain medical conditions might have also been stolen. Macy's announced it's closing 66 stores nationwide, including two in San Diego County. Among the stores described as underproductive are the Macy's in Mission Valley and the Chula Vista location at the Otay Ranch Town Center. According to the company, the stores are expected to close during the first quarter of this year. In Southern California, the company is also closing locations in downtown Los Angeles and in Westminster in Orange County. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by News from Native California, the illuminating source for Native stories in the Golden State. Each subscription to News from Native California directly supports Indigenous journalism. Learn more at newsfromnativecalifornia.com.
It's been nearly a week since wildfires began ravaging the Los Angeles area. Thousands of people have lost everything. But reporter John Carroll tells us that as the calls for help have gone out, the aid has flowed in from San Diegans.
I'm hearing from my friends up there that lead churches similar to ours that the stores are empty, so there's no more toilet papers, no more paper towels, there's no clean water.
Rock Church Executive Campus Pastor Travis Gibson, speaking at a donation drive-through event sponsored by the church, Gibson says over the course of just 2 days, they've filled four 26-foot trucks with all sorts of badly needed supplies. They'll be driving them up on Tuesday. At the San Diego Humane Society, a call for people to foster and adopt animals, especially large dogs, brought more than 400 applications from people like Stacy Middleman.
I mean, I just want to do anything I can to help. And if one dog gets to spend a week outside of the shelter or, you know, not in a crate, then that's what I can do.
We have more ways you can help online at kpbs.org. John Carroll, KPBS News.
Rebuilding from the historic fires in L.A. will come at a steep price. I spoke with reporter Tanya Thorne about how the insurance industry will handle the aftermath and what residents can do now. So we've all been following the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles County, and of course, a hot topic has been the insurance market. Tanya, can you first give us some background on this?
So the insurance market in California was already shaky. We've been seeing companies like Farmers Insurance, Allstate, State Farm, offloading California clients and canceling policies because of the fire risks in California. So what homeowners were left with were little options such as limited coverage or double or even triple the rates for fire coverage. And now clients who had no insurance companies serving the area were pushed to the insurer of last resort, which is the California Fair Plan for fire coverage. And what's really important here is that homeowners with a mortgage are required to have a homeowner's insurance policy. So they were pushed to get whatever policy was available to them.
Was anything being done to stabilize the insurance market?
Yeah, so for the last year, our current insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, was in negotiations with insurance companies to figure out a plan. On December 31st, so right before the new year, he announced new regulations that would bring back insurance companies into what are being deemed fire risk areas. companies agreed to start issuing policies in the next 1 to 5 years. Of course, it was going to come at a cost. And then you have this event happen days later after the announcement. I spoke to Dave Jones, who is the former insurance commissioner and currently the director of the Climate Risk Initiative at UC Berkeley Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment. He says these events were not a matter of if, but more of when.
It's a sad and tragic consequence of our failure to transition away from fossil fuels and other greenhouse gas emitting industries, which are driving global temperature increases, driving more extreme and severe weather-related events, like these massive infernos that are befalling California. From an insurance perspective, it's also a disaster because we've already had a challenge with insurance pricing and availability in California, and this is only going to make things worse. We can expect, even before these wildfires, that we're going to see tremendous increases in insurance prices.
So he thinks we should first hold the insurance companies accountable for what they agreed to do, which is to come back to the California market. But in return, we will be seeing higher rates for coverage. And of course, there's still the matter of addressing climate change, as well as maintenance of county, city, state-owned fire risk areas.
So, Tanya, what happens now with insurance coverage after a massive event like this?
These events are exactly what the insurance companies were scared of happening, especially in California, where the cost of a home can be in the millions. And we are seeing it happen in one of the most expensive neighborhoods in California. There is the fear of the California FAIR Plan not having enough resources to cover the claims and the damage, or insurance companies going insolvent. Jones doesn't think that will happen. He thinks homeowners with insurance will see payouts. But now the question is if the coverage or payout will be enough to cover the cost of the home. Of course, there might be additional support from FEMA or the state. He is questioning federal assistance with the incoming Trump administration. Here is Jones again.
So we're probably not going to have a federal partner, but we're big enough as a state to help communities rebuild. People are going to get insurance payouts. In some cases, people are going to discover that they are underinsured, that they didn't get enough insurance, and that's a very painful moment. Even with a complete coverage of the replacement cost of your home, you're going to find, sadly, that because of shortages in contractors, shortages in labor, shortages in material, because everyone's trying to rebuild at the same time, it's going to take some time to do this.
What should homeowners that are impacted do?
I spoke to Robert Feldman, the co-founder and CEO of Wows Insurance. He's been in the industry for over 25 years. He says that while this is an overwhelming and emotional time, homeowners need to act quickly. They need to get a hold of their policy or agent and follow these 5 steps to get ahead of what is expected to be a really congested time and long journey. Step 1, homeowners need to file a claim as soon as possible. Step 2 is if that home is a loss, they need to certify the total loss of the home if that's the case. Once that damage is certified, these families can start to look for temporary long-term housing. As ironic as that sounds, because the process of rebuilding could be a matter of years. And step 4 and 5, which he says some homeowners are already looking into, are architects for plans of the home and even builders.
Thank you so much, Tanya. The psychotropic drug ketamine has been legal to prescribe for treating depression since 2019. Since then, it has gained traction as a promising in-clinic therapy. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says a new study shows its recreational use is also on the rise.
A study by UC San Diego researchers show recreational ketamine use has increased by 150% in the last 10 years. Dr. Arslan Assam isn't surprised. He was not involved in the study, but has been treating patients with a psychotropic drug for years.
I think, unfortunately, now with telehealth, it can be a little too easy. There's a lot of companies that are trying to monetize this space.
The biggest increase in recreational use is among adults between 26 and 34, and those with a college degree. He says the growing use outside of medical settings is concerning. The drug carries risks, like anxiety, nausea, disassociation, and even bladder damage.
I think it's great for access and convenience, but you are now suddenly putting ketamine in patients' hands without necessarily a lot of supervision. So that is at risk for addiction. Just like the opiate crisis happened, right? You have to have thoughtful prescribing.
Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
A change in network providers in the military's healthcare system has caused some issues since it went into effect January 1st. Military and Veterans Affairs reporter Andrew Dyer spoke to one doctor who says the change will impact patients.
Active duty military members, their families, and military retirees often get their health care at military clinics. But when they need medical services outside of base, there's a network of civilian providers. For the last decade, Health Net Federal Services provided the network in the West region. Now, the West is under TriWest Healthcare Alliance. Mark Jesenowski, a psychologist in Fallbrook, says providers who are part of the old network aren't automatically going to be in the new one.
It says on their website, you can sign up and you can become credentialed, but it's an approximate 6-month process, and they will let you know if they need you. So there's no guarantee.
Service members also reported problems updating their information and getting through to customer service. TriWest says more than 70% of its beneficiaries have been able to update their information and that it's increased its customer service staffing. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Some traditional stalwarts of the Democratic Party jumped ship in the November election. Public Matters reporter Amita Sharma says the exit was pronounced in southeastern San Diego, mirroring trends across the country.
Democrats lost slightly fewer than 11,000 votes in southeastern San Diego between November's election and 4 years ago. At the same time, Republicans gained 2,000 votes in the region. Ellen Nash, chair of the San Diego chapter of the Black American Political Association of California, lives in southeastern San Diego. She reports some local young voters have no allegiance to either party and believe the system has failed them.
Black people in southeastern San Diego, if you look at the data, we're at the bottom in all categories: education, housing, employment, racial justice.
Clarissa Madden of the Harvey Family Foundation says southeastern voters were less apt to buy Vice President Kamala Harris's economic agenda over President-elect Donald Trump's.
When you wake up every morning and you're still living paycheck to paycheck, those tangible deliverables are what matters the most to people right now.
Trump also got a boost from traditionally Democratic voters in swing states. More Latino voters cast ballots for Trump than in the past, and fewer Black people in those states voted Democratic. Amita Sharma, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Tepe Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting Working Title, their fourth annual exhibition of experimental art and music at St. Paul's Cathedral. Working Title, a labyrinth of sights and sounds featuring local artists and musicians from San Diego and Baja California. Tickets at projectblanksd.org.